Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto 247 Show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here.
Wow! And we're back, our first episode of the 2024 season. I'm here with Dean Taylor, covering A1. It was, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a wild one. And we're just talking about that a second ago, but it was kind of boring, to be honest, between both 250 and 450 class. There's takeaways, like in the 250 class, that there's some entertainment there. But, yeah, what were your thoughts on A1 and going into it? I thought it was going to be a little bit better, honestly.
Yeah, it was kind of, like you said, maybe a little boring, but, I mean, it was all around. It was good to see everybody out there and kind of at least – get some good gauges for the guys moving forward. They know hopefully they're building off their season, but I don't know if maybe everybody was just being a little bit conservative, just trying to make it through the first round safe and stuff like that. You said there was a couple wild moments, but yeah, the overall racing was a little slow, maybe, I guess. Like I said, a couple moments, but
yeah, I felt like it was nothing special that really happened. It was like kind of like the same old Jet Lawrence experience that we've been pretty much dealing with the last couple of years, where he just establishes that lead and then he just has it there within a couple of seconds, and if anyone catches him, he just pushes it a little bit more and gets going. But in the 250 class, so like there wasn't that much action, but I was honestly surprised with like riders like Beaumaire, and then both PC boys were doing really good, but which I guess is no surprise there at all. But yeah, both like Volin and Kitchen I thought were doing good, which I don't know, that pro circuit team I've seen dominate for years, and to see them, be outside the top five so much, and I only know when the last title was. It's been a while, so it was nice to see them up there, and at least they can be a threat moving on here.
Yeah, they definitely surprised me, and kind of like you said, Beaumaire was really surprising. Like Volin, when he won his heat race, he was like dang near almost like throwing shade on Red Bull KTM a little bit, he was very happy with his Kawasaki, it sounded like, which is always good. And then, yeah, Kitchen, I thought he looked good. I was kind of like worried in the main. It seemed like he was almost back to his same form of like, was it the main where he was just kind of, he wasn't like charging through the pack, or maybe it was the heat race. But yeah, when he went down, I thought he was a little bit slow moving in the pack versus Joe Shimoda, who went down in his heat race and seemed to work through the pack a little more quickly.
Yeah, that's I was really going into A1. I was really just curious in how like Shimoda versus Kitchen would do, and Kitchen, like, he seemed like he was there, but he didn't take that step forward yet. Which it's only the first round, so whatever. But yeah, I thought I agree. Like I thought he was gonna be up there moving a little bit forward through the pack, and the rider who took that step forward, which it was his rookie debut, at least for Supercross, was Julian Beaumaire. Man, he's been killing it lately and kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I haven't been too into the amateur scene last, 4 or 5 years or so, and really haven't heard of him until I think it was last year when he was doing Futures, I believe, or it might have been right before that or something. And
right.
And now he's coming in as, under the lights at A1 and getting a really good start and staying up there for a bit and end up dropping back to six, but still, like, I think that was really impressive for a 17-year-old rookie.
Yeah, he did pretty good, and so, like you said, first ever pro main, like, amazing starts, really showed the pace, and like I don't think anybody's upset with him at all for kind of being a rookie as far as like the little bit of fading. He might have been getting nervous and riding tight and maybe just getting a little bit tired, his first time really having to hang it in there for a wide out, like wide open sprint of a 15-minute main,
Yes,
so the losing those few positions towards the end, it was like, oh wow, man, that was still an amazing showing.
Yeah, like when I was looking at him like earlier on in the main, like I don't know when this was, it might have been like 2 or 3 minutes in, but I was looking at the guys behind him and the time gaps and everything. I'm like, even if he does get like fifth or sixth, which is a pretty far drop back from when he had the lead or when he was up there in second, I'm like, that would still be a really impressive ride because there's really a couple big name riders behind him too. And even going down to like Carson Mumford, he was down in 10th and he rode pretty good, at least in the heat race when they showed him on TV. But yeah, like for his first ride and he didn't really have those too many at least on camera, on TV there, like sketchy rookie moments. There was like a few, you know, times when they showed him when he was like a little bit out of groove, but not like really sketchy moments. So I was impressed with that too, even if he was fading back a little bit. Instead of just trying to go all out and grenade himself, he ended up, you know, just going a little bit slower or whatever it was to still manage a really good position for, you know, his first race. But yeah, I was really impressed with him. Like, if he can ride like that, you know, it's A1, so I don't want to, you know, say anything, but like Hayden Deegan last year, he rode really good in Houston, I think it was, for the first round of the East Coast, and no one really expected him to do anything after the A2 Futures event and getting like fifth or something. And, but if Bo Mayer can be up there, I can see him running inside the top five, you know, all day now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, too, like, I don't know. Like, so he was awesome. And then I was kind of like a lot of the guys in the 250 and 450 class, like coming in, I, you know, it's like we have high hopes for like changes, but like kind of talking about like maybe Joe Shimoda next, like, you know, I come in like and everybody's saying, you know, he can't deliver when he's got pressure. And like, I don't know if that was the case or if, you know, he was just having some bad luck, but yeah, I was like anxious to see what he's going to do here in the future, if he can start delivering and hopefully getting some wins or something. Cause I think he's got some really high expectations. And then like Levi Kitch and I was kind of reminiscent of like, maybe it's the same old of, as far as like showing the speed, but he needs to be in the winning position. He can't work his way through the pack as well.
Yeah. Like he needs to kind of, you know, be up there. It's like, I think either going to be him or Shimoda really making that step up, because a lot of guys left the 250 class in the last 2 years. So, you know, Someone needs to really step up, and Hayden's obviously doing it on the other coast, at least so far, and should be, you know, the guy to beat this year in the East Coast. But, yeah, like him or Shimoda, I mean, or Kitchen, but who knows, Volin can be, you know, right there. And he surprised me, and I think the whole PC team is doing really good, and that's the last year of that bike. So it seems like they really got that thing dialed late last year in the outdoors, so. It's like finally, like I've always been a huge PC fan going back to like the Villopoto days or Langston back then, but it's been years without, even when they got a title, like was it like 4 or 5 years ago, like even then, like they weren't really on top of or on their A game at all. So to see them up there is pretty cool. Sucks that Shimoda left though, because he was finding his groove late last year and then in the outdoors and going into the playoffs too. So I was wondering how the move over the Honda would affect him, and if he can still, you know, keep that momentum going into the 2024 season. But I guess we'll see how it is. I feel like I didn't really get many answers out of A1. It was more of a, like we're talking about before the pod here a second ago, like it's kind of a little bit of a boring round. Nothing really too much happened in both classes, really, but especially the 450 class. And now I'm just, you know, getting ready to, I guess, for San Francisco and for fantasy stuff. I have no idea who I'm picking, at least throughout the top five. Like, I'll probably pick Chet again to win, but besides that, I have no idea.
Yeah, like, I think that's, like, yeah, so, like, probably safe bet would be to go with Chet to win, but, yeah, then everywhere else it's kind of hard to tell because you can't tell. Like I said, it was kind of a wash in a sense as far as, you know, you didn't get to see, like, a good start for everybody and, like, a good battle. With like Kenny going down and Hunter not even making the main, and then feel like, well, like, who else crashed there, you know, throughout the race too? That, like, you know, Eli just kind of dropping back, and then was it Christian Craig and Malcolm that went down? Yeah. Or just Malcolm?
Well, Craig went down, which I knew he pulled off, but I think it was because of his bike. So I think he's fine, but
yeah,
or I hope he's fine at least. But yeah, then yeah, Malcolm going down. Yeah, Tomac fading back, which I had no idea where to put Tomac. You know, there's a lot of things going on for him, you know, returning from injury, and he's, what, 31 now? So I thought he'd be up there a little bit further up there, like behind the podium guys, like Sexton. But
right,
I don't know. Like, I didn't think he was going to win or anything. I know there's a lot of huge Tomac fans thinking he was going to come up and come out of the, you know, injury and just kick Jet Lawrence's ass, which – I'm a huge Tomac fan. I really don't care for Jet, and I would like to see that, but I did not see that coming in. I kind of feared what we saw coming into this year, and everyone, it's just crazy. Like, there's a lot of the Jet fanboys that are so annoying. I see them post everything. They they repost everything, Jet Lawrence on Instagram and stuff, but which I get it. Well, not that they do that, all that, but I get why they, you know, like him or whatever. But then I see the haters out here that don't think he's going to win any, you know, everything. Then he moves up to the 450 class last year in the outdoors and, no joke, wins everything in the outdoors. And then they're still like, well, in Supercross, he can't do it. Then goes through in the playoff rounds and SMX, which are not full-on Supercross, and especially Chicago. But, like, after that, he still proved that he could win. And even going into L.A., he got that win. And Sexton, you know, was right there, but still he won that. And, you know, that was pretty close to Supercross. And there's, what, just besides no whoops, it was pretty much a Supercross track there in the Coliseum. Then going into this year, there's still, I think there's a lot of people doubting that he couldn't win, even though that everyone thinks he's like a generational talent, which is crazy that there's two of those sides that are so strong. But yeah, going on or going into this year, I feared that he was just going to dominate and kind of make racing boring. I remember for the longest time growing up, I hated Ricky Carmichael because he won everything. And I've been a huge Carmichael fan for almost forever now, but for a while there, I'm like, just come on, someone new needs to win. And with Lawrence, it makes it so boring, too, because you think these guys are going to catch him, and he has a 2-second or 3-second lead or whatever it is, and he just keeps it at, you know, there, and then, oops, they're putting a late race charge, you know, coming up behind him, and he just pushes that, you know, needle a little bit more and whatever he needs to do to win, which is especially boring because if you're going to win, come on, win by 20 seconds. You know, but I get it, really smart racing by him, but yeah, I just fear that we're going to see Jet just dominating in 24. So hopefully I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong on that, even though I have all my fantasy picks probably riding on him from here on out for a while at least. But I guess we'll see, you know, how it is. But what did you think of the, I guess it doesn't really mean nothing, but the new backgrounds for the SMX leaders or the champions? A little throwback almost.
Yeah, like, I don't know how I like missed the announcement on that or just forgot or whatever, but yeah, they kind of caught me off guard. I mean, I think it's kind of, I think it's cool, but at the same time, it's I don't know, it's just something different, I guess. Like, I don't know if it's like, I get how they're trying to make it all, like, kind of, you know, keep the spotlight on the whole big series that, you know, that whole SMX thing. But it's like, I kind of think I like it a little bit more being separated, but I don't know if it's just, that's just almost some growing pains of like trying to have to get used to something new.
Yeah, I think it's going to be weird, too, because I'm pretty sure, like, I could be wrong, but I think if he gets the red plate, he'll run the red background, but he'll have that yellow or whatever, you know, off-yellow color that is on his number, so.
Like, I think we looked, like, we looked up the Racer X listing on it, and to my knowledge, it's just going to go switch over to red background now. I don't think it'll still have the yellow.
Just the normal red backgrounds that he's had.
I could be wrong, but if I'm remembering how we interpreted the article we found on Racer X.
Really? I hope so, because it just looks so weird. It means nothing, obviously, but like I'm just so anal about like bikes looking factory and stuff. I think it looks super cool to see like the factory Honda look and everything, and even when it comes down like number fonts and stuff, it's really cool. And they just look nice and clean, and I don't know, like a lot of the old school people were thinking it was really cool because it's kind of looking like the early 90s, but in a way, close. But
I kind of had that same thought where it kind of reminded me of like the photos you see of like Stanton's bikes, like you said, with the yellow number and the blue background. Like, I almost wish they would have done that just as of like kind of a nod, because I think, I don't know, I think it would just look cooler as far as like the retro nod, but I mean, it was still kind of look good, but I don't know.
I think that would look better, but I think it just looks weird, which, looking at it, we've never had a combined championship. So for them to, you know, in Supercross, they have their number one plate, and outdoors have the number one plate, and the champion deserves something, but, like, for the overall, but, I don't know, it's just kind of weird, really weird, and to see. And it kind of, I don't know, sucks because the white backgrounds in the Honda, I think, look really cool, which Jet probably won't have those for that long anyways. He would, you know, would be rolling in with red plate for San Fran this week anyways, but yeah, I just thought it was weird, and I don't think they announced that until like maybe Friday on press day. It might have been Thursday or something, but it was still really late, which is really weird, but I guess whatever, they're trying to push that name of SMX, and and world championship title, I guess. Which is kind of funny to see him that and the whole world supercross stuff go on. But I don't know. I didn't know what to think of it. There's a lot of people I know that loved it and a lot of people that hated it, which I'm just like, I get it, but it kind of looks a little bit weird, but I guess going back to the racing, Sexton, I thought he'd come out a little bit better, new bike and coming off a summer of, you know, being a little bit beat up and then getting his ass kicked by Jet Lawrence. I thought he would, come out swinging, but, came out, you know, still kept it on two wheels and got a third, you know, really solid result going into round two. So, I think it's still a really good ride. He had that one. Do you see that get off he had? That was, he saved it. It got pretty sketchy there for a moment.
Oh, yeah, I believe so. You might have to jog my memory, but I kind of feel like I remember that. Like,
yeah, one of the rhythms just, I think he might have hit the tough block, but he was really close in the casing or whatever. And I thought he was going down for sure, but he saved that and managed to get a third. And he had a pretty good ride. Nothing really too out of the ordinary, though. But Cooper Webb, I was impressed by, like, going into this season. I thought, I don't know, it seems like almost every other year he's, like, on fire, then he's really cold, and every other year just it's the same thing going for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, and every year I say it, and it's kind of funny because it's the joke that always happens, you know, it just keeps on coming back. But this year, I don't know what year it would have been. Last year it was a little bit off, so I don't know. But I heard he lost, like, 20 or 30 pounds or something. It might have been more than that. Like, someone, I don't know if that was Kiefer or someone at Racer X posted that over the weekend, but he slimmed down since Paris. But, yeah, I'm really pumped for him. He was on until he absolutely ate crap on that little table there. That kicker got a couple guys there, at least two with Kitchen and – or not Kitchen, but what's his face?
Thrasher.
Yeah, Thrasher and Webb. And talking about Thrasher, I'm bummed for him. It kind of sucks. I was rooting for him last year. He was looking really good last year until he got hurt and – in the first round, so, you know, getting hurt this year, so hopefully it's not too bad, but it really didn't look too good there, you know, with him being out on the side of the track, looked like a shoulder injury or something. I haven't heard anything, so I could be wrong. Something might have been posted by now, but it's Sunday night if you guys listen right now, so probably get this up by Monday, if not tonight, but yeah, we'll see, I guess. I'll keep an eye out for that, and hopefully he's healthy going into round two, but I have not looked up the track map for next week, so I wonder how that is. But takeaways from A1, what was your, like, most surprise, like a surprise moment or standout moment from I guess anyone in A1?
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, like you had higher expectations for Chase. Like, I've been hearing that he wasn't doing as hot, like he wasn't gelling with the bike yet. So I was pretty surprised that he was able to like bring it home and have like a consistent safe third. I mean, that was a really big surprise, but I mean, I don't know, like the 250 class, like either Julian or Max's rides probably surprised me the most. And then the 450 class, I'd probably have to say Cooper Webb. Like when I checked the timing and scoring for qualifying and he was at the top of the board, I was blown away that he was that fast because everybody was dogging on him saying he's out of shape, saying he's like kind of washed up and like, you know, and then he didn't do well at the SMX rounds. He didn't do well in Paris. I mean, you know, I'm saying he needs to like really get whipped into shape. And then you didn't really hear any rumors of him doing well at the test track. So for him to show up and qualify like second or third, and then it'll be riding that strong in the main. And like I said, just to have a tip over, but
that's surprisingly pumped for him. Yeah. Like he, especially after Paris, it was like still, it's an off season race. They're not, you know, hitting their peak, you know, not even close to that. But I was hoping he'd be a lot better from Paris going into A1, and thank God he was. And
yeah, that was just night one mistake away.
Yeah, like I was surprised. I was really pumped. He looked like a totally different dude, and I thought he would be I thought the roles would be reversed between like him and Tomac. How the main played out for both those guys. I thought, like, I wouldn't be surprised if you just told me, you know, what Tomac did, and you know, Webb did that, and just was back there and whatever, seventh or eighth, you know, near the back there, and just not really doing too much. And Tomac was up there kind of battling around the podium spot. Like, I didn't think he was going to be anywhere up there further, like up there with Jet, but just yet at least. And yeah, I was really pumped on that. My surprise, I guess, moment would be that. Or yeah, like you said, Beaumaire doing really good. He looked really smooth, and everyone's been saying that, which I know everyone talks about all over Twitter and Instagram of who, you know, who's looking good at, on the test track, and that's always everyone's, or nearly everyone's looking good, and oh, you know, better watch out for them. So can't really take what, you know, everyone says and the word, because then A1 comes around and it, you know, it might not work out. But yeah, Beaumaire looked really good, so that's probably my surprise moment. But let's do the fantasy. Go over fantasy. Week one of fantasy, and I made my picks. Last year I was known for missing my picks. So finally made those. I was a little off. And let's get this pulled up right here. Going in, I don't know. I wanted to join that money league, but I don't know. I normally don't do good at fantasy, so play good, I don't do it. But your brother, Zach, is leading the leaderboard here in the Moto247 group with 48 points. So he's the one to chase from now on out. I'm going to get some more people in that group. I have two accounts. I noticed that.
I gotta did you submit your picks?
I submit my pick. Yeah, I did. But I have two accounts because I logged in like a few weeks ago and made it. And then I logged in with my – I just tried logging in to my Rocky Mountain, and I forgot I used a different email, so I just joined in the group again. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot I used a different email for that, so I got to delete one of those. The account I didn't use, but yeah. But I guess we'll see. Who's the wild card for this weekend? But for this, or we got 15th this weekend, so should be a good one. The mains, honestly, are pretty good. Oh, one thing I want to talk about this week was they changed the point system back to the old system that we've had for a long time here, and what the outdoors are using too. And what's your thoughts about if you make a main and you get 22nd, you know, last place there in the main, you will not score a point? What's your takeaway on that?
I think it's kind of bullcrap, man. Like, final 22 is a big deal, and you know, like, let's just, you know, like, just give, like, just 1 point. I mean, it doesn't make a difference. Like, just give it, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard as hell to make the top 22 and, like, to literally have, like, nothing to show for it. Because I even just think of it in the instances, like, as far as, like, Loretta's rules. I don't know if it's supercross or motocross, but, you know, like, the pro classes, like, you know, as far as, like, Loretta's, like, it changes the classes you can run if you've scored a pro point, you know? And, like, I just think of that rule as far as amateurs. So you're telling me the guy who can qualify for a supercross main and finish 22nd, you know, if somebody somehow like rode that fine line, and then you're basically saying that like that you would allow that person to be able to sign up for a like the amateur classes still, you know, if he finished 22nd. Like, no, like everybody would agree that that person's probably a phenomenal rider and is like very much considered a pro and should not, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's kind of crap because even the make the main now, like last year during the outdoor season, there were, you know, going back and set the top 10 there, like there's a lot of room for privateers around the top 10 then going back to like 22nd. But yeah, for Supercross now, like, you know, everyone's back, and just to make the main, I think it's a huge accomplishment. And let's say you're a guy like Carnot, which I really don't see him making one with everyone back. I think he got hurt too, so hopefully he's okay. I know he's going to post an update here soon. Last time I checked, I didn't see it, but hopefully he's, you know, going to be back for San Francisco here. But anyways, yeah, just to make the main, like imagine if you're that bubble guy and you make, let's say, four or five mains and you don't, and let's say you get last because the 21st place guy is a step ahead of you. Like one of the guys that, I don't know, consistently make the mains pretty much every weekend. It's like, and you score 0 points for four or five main events you're in. I think that's stupid. Even if you do DNF or whatever, I think you should still get a point for just making it to the main. So yeah, I agree. Even if it's, let's say 21st is a point or whatever it is. I don't know how it is down there. I don't know if it just, if 21st is a point, then just goes, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 up, but which I think it does. But even if 21st is a point, I think 22nd should also be a point. Like, I get it that you finish, or let's say you finish 21st, and the guy behind you still gets the same amount of points. But like you said, it's 1 point, not like it's, you know, third and fourth being the same. So amount of points. So I don't know. I just saw that, which is really weird. That's another last minute thing, which I think they did really last minute, or at least it was made public last minute. That I thought was really odd. It really sucks, especially with. I think it'd be different if the field wasn't so deep, but still, whoever's getting 20 seconds, getting screwed. And talking about getting 20 second, getting screwed, huge bummer for Phil Nicoletti this weekend. I just couldn't even imagine being him. They had the camera on him, and I can just imagine how pissed off he was, just, you know, kicking off the season like this. A huge bummer for Phil.
Yeah, I mean, him and Hunter Lawrence, and, like, I mean, try to figure who else. Did you see Vince Freeze ended up DNFing?
Yeah.
He got together with Dean Wilson, hit the ground, and literally left his bike on the track and just walked back to the tunnel. It was so weird. Like, I can't even be able to find any answers of what the heck was going on. He, like, took his helmet off and, like, threw his goggles on the ground and, like, just walked to the tunnel, left his bike. Like, I don't know. It was the weirdest.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, if you watch Dean Wilson's vlog, it's in it. And like you said, like, I mean, I tried checking like Vince's like Instagram or something, but I mean, obviously everybody hates him, so he probably's not gonna make any updates.
Yeah, he turns off the comments. But he's been known to do stuff like this for just be aggressive and be dirty for years. But like the last couple years especially, but like even in World Supercross, it was always something. Like, the riders are so pissed off, and you're hearing arguments with, like, Dean and him and Joey Savacci, and it was almost like another race. You know Vince is going to do something. And it was, like, the first round was, like, the same time as Red Bull, and I forgot if he did something that round. But it's, like, almost every round of WSX last year. I didn't watch them all live or anything, but I just knew, like, I'm going to hear some Vince post about how he was dirty or just clean someone out or something. Then going into A1, I was just curious to see how he's gonna do, and just to see that. And at least I didn't see him walk off, but I gotta look that up on Dean's vlog. But I did see the video of Dean on his Instagram just calling Freeze a clown. Mm-hmm. Like it's always something with him. Like, and what are they gonna do? Like both just the AMA and then the FIM. Going over there for, you know, World Supercross, like what are they gonna do? Like I love how they post videos of him and stuff. At least World Supercross, they post videos of him, then it's like, I think you're supposed to be, he should get punished. Like he keeps on doing this stuff and they're just letting it go. I guess we'll see how far they let it go, but it's like, damn, I don't know. I don't even know what to think anymore. I'm just kind of speechless right now after just everything. So we'll see. Man, I like the interview, too, with JT when he was interviewing Lawrence before his LCQ. He was like, yeah, I've been there before. But, you know, you normally don't hear reporters say that. They don't mention their own career or anything. And I just love how he's interviewing him. He's like, yeah, I've had some run-ins with him back in my day. I'm like, oh, my God. But, okay. I think we didn't really talk about Hunter Lawrence that much. But I guess, a little bit, but I don't know. I thought he was going to be up there in the top five, and just really unfortunate circumstances there for Hunter Lawrence. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see how he's going to do in round two. So I just think a crazy fluke there happened. I guess, what did you think about the whole first turn crash? I saw some people, like former riders, say it was fair game. Then some other former riders say that it was dirty of him cutting over like that. What were you thinking about that?
Of first turn, you're saying?
Yeah, the first turn crash with Freezy cutting over.
I mean, it's like the thing where it's like, how can, like, I don't know, like, how can the officials, like, just stand there and watch this happen when it's, like, when it's consistently somebody, you know, when it's, like, these issues happen and it's consistently the same person is being involved. Like there's always like a common person. Like how can you just stand by and
not like, I don't want them being like the NFL and fining everyone for every little thing or even like docking them or whatever. But when it comes to, like you just said, like the same guy over and over, and he's in almost every incident, right, over the last couple of years, like just same thing. And I don't know, just after that, I'm just curious to what happened after, you know, with him and Dean, but which I guess I'll watch his vlog after we get done here with Dean Wilson. But I don't know. So I'm just I'm surprised that he still has a ride, and I'm surprised that MCR Moto Concepts they turned off their comments on one of their posts. I saw someone screenshot of that and posted on Twitter or something, how like it was right after, like I don't even think the main was over with, but just like it was during the race, they turned off their comments on their last post. I know everyone's about to be in there just firing in their comments. But it's pretty crazy. And I guess the last thing I want to talk about before we get into our top three picks, our podium picks for next week, is the whole Fox speed suit thing. I know everyone was posting about that this week, and they even got the video with Kiefer was in the Fox guy there. They're going over, you know, showing its features and crap, and they got that piss flap in there and everything. So, I wonder how that feels, honestly, because I know they have a similar thing in cycling for like cyclocross and stuff where it's like a skin suit, but I know moto gear is obviously a lot different than spandex. So I wonder how that feels riding. Like, who knows, it might not be that much of a difference, but I know people are hating on it, but I was like, I think it's kind of cool, but is it really necessary though, you know?
Yeah, because when you brought up the cycling kit, I hadn't thought of it from that angle. I'm like, that kind of made me like rethinking a little bit. I'm like, okay, I kind of get like that. Like same thing with like downhill skiing or, you know, like some of those other stuff where you said like where they really worry about like aerodynamics. I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. Like put me on a little bit more on board, but yeah, like I wonder what materials they use in the whole thing. If it's like more, if it is more like a cycling suit or something where it's more spandexy. Cause like as far as me, I don't like, I love my like cycling kits. But I don't know about you, but I don't like the cycling bibs that have like the shoulders, because like sometimes I feel like it's kind of like scrunching me up, like pulling down on my shoulders.
I used to feel like that, but not with the ones I have now.
Yeah, like I don't know if it's just some of the kits that I have that are like that, because then I just wonder if it's like a one piece riding gear suit like Christian Craig's. I mean, they probably fit it to him pretty well, but like for somebody like, you know, like I just worry like putting it on and like having it be kind of restricting like that and almost like pulling down on your shoulders, because to me sometimes that gets a little bit annoying.
Yeah, I don't know how it was, but like I feel like if it is comparable at all to like a cycling skin suit, I almost said speed suit, the skin suit there, like I think it would be like your one. I know when I have like a really good bib and stuff, and there's one that Louis Garneau discontinued, which pissed me off because it was super like comfortable and it just felt like it was a part of me. And I, there's some that are really tight and it won't allow you to move too much, and then there's some that are a little bit loose, and the ones that are tight they want to grab on and like not really move with you and how you're moving or whatever. But then I did have one, so yeah, with the straps and the bibs that just constantly pull down and kind of just hurts your shoulders and back after a while of just like moving around on the bike. But I've never worn skin suits, so I have no idea how it feels. But I feel like most of them are high dollar, ones. So I assume like they're really comfortable fitting. And then looking at that, it looked like a pretty nice, I guess, thing. Like it was the jersey and stuff looked kind of comparable to the cycling stuff or the jersey portion of it, or whatever you want to call it, but. Yeah, I'm wondering how the pants are. Yeah, if they're too, like really thin and stuff and stretchy or whatever. But I don't know. I imagine like, let's say if like an average Joe buys that, like wonder how long that would last, like with them crashing and stuff before it gets completely torn. Because I know there's a lot of gear companies now, and a lot of them are, even like the big name gear companies, are really thin and it's really cheap compared to what they used to be like, going back to maybe a little bit over 10 years ago, 10-15 years ago or so. And I just can't imagine, which if you're a, you know, pro rider, a factory rider like Christian Craig, it doesn't matter. You can just, you know, have new stuff for next weekend. But wonder how durable those are. But I thought it was kind of, I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool, but maybe unnecessary. And then everyone was flipping out. They're like in the comments to every post about what if you have to piss, which that would suck. At least I know in bibs, like, oh my God, when you're in bibs, and especially like if it was a cold weather mountain bike race or whatever, it was hell because you have so many layers on and you have to go under your layers, and then you might be able to go under and yank your bibs down so you can get them down, you know, far enough to take a piss or whatever. But I'm like, that would suck, but imagine being the Porta John with that stretchy freaking skin suit looking thing. But apparently they have a piss flap, so I don't know how that works to where you just don't have this. Because did you see the video? It was like this big open hole, so I don't know if there's a little tiny zipper on that or whatever. But
it didn't look like there was a zipper on it in the video.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I'm like, is that just a hole down there? Because I don't know. I kind of want to try it. I guess I don't have a bike right now, but like if I was riding, I'd be curious to know how it is. I don't know. Not like it's really necessary. I don't think gear is a problem, especially nowadays. There's so many different types, and I think a lot of it's pretty comfortable fitting and stuff. But I just thought it was something different for sure, and I'm surprised Roxton didn't try that first. But anyways, I think we've covered everything I've wanted to for A1. Was there anything else that you wanted to hit on before we move into our podium picks, I guess, for next weekend?
Yeah, I think we've covered all pretty good, kind of touched on most of the guys. I guess we didn't really say much about Jorge Prado. You can really go down the list on everybody, but I think he finished 13th.
Yeah, I guess I want to talk about him. Yeah, there's so many things we could talk about, but yeah, I think with Prado, I was curious to see how he's going to do. I know the team was saying he was a little bit off on speed wise in the test track, so I was curious, and I had honestly no idea where I would put him, because the top 15, top 17 are really stacked. So seeing him 13th, I guess, isn't really surprising. I don't know. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was up there a little bit further. Like in time qualifying, he got 9th. So he was looking really good. I watched him for a few laps there. I tuned in to Race Day Live only for a few minutes. I think after you texted me, and he was on there for a couple laps there, and I was watching him, but which he looked good, but I guess, still, if he wants to be at the level of the top guys, he would, have some work to do for sure. But I think he'll be over here next year. Like, he seems like one of those guys that, he got the GP title, and that was his goal for who knows how long, pretty much probably his whole life or whatever. He got that, and he's like, okay, now next. Like, he has that thing he's chasing. He's just not satisfied with that GP title and or even, competing, I guess, with Corolla or stuff that he could stay there and really get a good life and win probably multiple championships over his career. But now he seems like he's really eyeing up the U.S. and wanting to come over here, obviously, this year testing the waters and see how he's liking it and see how it is and everything. But I think he's going to be over here, and he seems like he has that fire to just keep on chasing that, and that fire to be the best. And I don't know. I feel like if you want to be the best, because we always have these debates of the GP guys versus the guys over here in the States. And it's, I don't know, throwing in Supercross, it's a little bit different. Like, if he comes over here and dominates, then, I think for sure he'll have the title as the best, right now. But I think it's still really cool for the sport, even if he comes over here and, gets outside of the top 5 or something. Just to have a world champion come over here is really cool to see. And I'm all about, guys, the GP guys coming over here, like Ferrandis over the years and Arnold Tonis and all those guys. So especially a guy that just won not only the 250 title, but a 450 title as well over there. So it was really cool to see. Got two more rounds, so I guess we'll see how he does the last two. But going into San Francisco, another baseball stadium, cool to see. I don't know when the last time they've been there. They probably mentioned that before if they ever have, but it's probably been a while. But going into round two, I'll get started, I guess, with my 250 picks. I have not put any thought into this at all until right now. So I guess I'll go with RJ again and Max Volland in second and Levi Kitchen in third.
Yeah, I think RJ looks like he, I don't know if it's just almost like he finally was like, if I was like in his position and like the way he's acting, like I'm gonna pick him to win because I think he's in that mindset, like all like he really believes he is the best. Like he, I think like the Lawrence brothers are gone, like he doesn't have to deal with like somebody like Christian Craig. Like I think he really truly believes like he is owning that class. So because like that's what he rode. So yeah, like I think he is probably, you know, I'll pick him to win, and then I think maybe Joe Shimoda second, and maybe Levi Kitchen third.
That happening, Shimoda. I'm like, I don't know where to put Shimoda really. He'll probably get second, knowing how I just picked my top three. But I guess if Shimoda gets a starter, if he's anywhere near the top three there, I think he'll be coming up through the pack and being up there in the lead group, or not in the lead group, but being up there battling, you know, first or second there really quick. And I think he's gonna carry that momentum that he had last year, like I was saying earlier. I think he's gonna carry it on to end of this season too. So yeah, I just don't know really where to put. I guess Shimoda up there for sure. I think top three up there battling for the championship. But Jordan Smith, he got second this past weekend, and I don't know if he's gonna consistently be up there. I can like it. It wouldn't really surprise me if he got, you know, he's second this weekend, and let's say in San Francisco he gets fifth or something. I wouldn't be too surprised. So I don't know if I kind of thinking that when I was making my picks, if I should put him before the pro circuit guys or what. But well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many guys. I mean,
weekend.
even like that Julian Bomer. I mean, like, you know, even like somebody like him, he could be like, oh man, and like really be coming into this weekend with more confidence, like kind of knowing where he stacks up and believing in his speed and like. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up on the podium. You know, there's so many. It's a pretty, like, I feel like East and West Coast are both pretty stacked for 250 riders this year, which is really cool. Like,
Yeah, I think there's it's weird almost. Like, it's not, there's not too many older guys, at least. Like, if I'm really curious to look at the list and see everyone's ages on there, but I feel like with guys like Hunter Lawrence, and which he has to be what, like 23 last year when he was racing the, I think he was 23 last year when he was racing 250 East. Him and Cooper moving up. Cooper couldn't, you know, race obviously in the last Supercross season, but I just mean the 250 class in general. And then it goes from I think a lot of these younger guys, and Kitchen is 22 though, so I guess he's not, you know, no spring chicken or whatever. But guys like RJ and Jordan Smith that are in their late 20s or however old they are, and I think there's a big gap down there. And there's guys like Volan that they can have their opportunity. Like it's, I think it's right now. They just need to go and get it and to make that step up and be in that title contender. And then there's young guys like Bomer, and I had no idea where to put him. I know last year he was looking really good, but man, like I would have predicted the him for sixth place going into A1, and especially riding the way he did. I was more impressed with the way he looked on the bike rather than the result. But yeah, I think San Francisco is going to be a pretty good one. I said A1 was going to be really good going into it, and I wasn't really too thrilled with it. So I guess we'll see how it plays out. But we got the earlier start times.
Everybody's kind of getting the jitters out now, and like you said, they really should start getting into the swing of things. I got the track map pulled up right now for
pretty cool.
San Francisco. Just kind of giving it a look over and stuff like that. It looks like a pretty good track. A lot going on.
You got the sand section there. Got the baseball, the stadium, which I honestly like the baseball stadiums a lot more than the football stadium. So, you know, a little bit bigger of a layout, which I was really cool to, or it's really cool to see, and I was really happy with the lap times, you know, around that 1 minute mark, which I hate it, like going into like Detroit, you know, our home race, when they're dropping down in the 45-second lap ranges. I just think it's kind of stupid, which obviously I know they're battling with limited floor space, but really cool to see him going into a baseball stadium. And yes, the track does look pretty cool, so we'll see how it plays out. Get a sand section again, and this past weekend was pretty cool though. But going in the 450 class, you know, I guess start with your 450 picks first.
Yeah, I already like submitted picks for fantasy just to be safe, and right now I've got Jet first, Cooper Webb second, and Chase Sexton third.
I might change I kind of want to pick the same as you, but I kind of want to make it a little bit different. But I definitely see Jeff winning, though. Or did I say Jeff?
Yeah.
Jet winning. But yeah, I think it's curious on how Webb's going to do, but I kind of want to be different than your pick. I don't know. I just flip Webb for Sexton there. So Sexton and second and Webb in third. But I think it should be pretty good up there.
There's so many guys, but yeah, like right now, it seems like Eli's maybe still just kind of getting back up to speed. And I've got Kenny in my top five. I feel like he's pretty good. He's just a little bit of bad luck last weekend. And then I think same thing. I still got Jason in the top five too, because he looked really good too.
Yeah, I was pumped on that. Like last year, he was off after it was weird. You know, the second year on that bike, and the first year he looked really good. And this year,
did you hear that? Like him and Adam, they were using that funky rear shock. Like I think it's that Showa one that, like, I think Chase was even using it too.
Oh, that so, like, one that Geyser was using.
Maybe yeah, like that. I believe it's like the one that was coming stock on the RMC for a while. I forget whatever. It's some Showa rear shock, but like they committed to it, and they used it the whole season. And Adam Cincirillo and Jason Anderson both felt very uncomfortable on it all last season, and they were kind of using that as their blaming that for some of their poor results last season, apparently.
Yeah, I could see something had to be changed last year, because Anderson came out and out of Husky, and his first year with Kawasaki looked so good, and it was the same bike, and like not like they got a new bike last year, it'd be the mm-hmm. case, like let's say Anderson looked bad this year, I'd get it. Excuse me. But yeah, the same bike. I've heard stuff like clips and stuff throughout the, I don't know what media pages are posting that, but just saying how really Kawasaki was not like, I guess like we hear stuff all the time with Tomac and how he can do a lot more. He's a lot more freedom of what he wants to do with a bike with a star versus Kawi, and just hearing how last year like they keep on wanting to go in one direction. And I didn't know what that was, what parts they're trying or whatever it was. So if it was that shock, curious. I don't know why they're running that, like, after it was the whole season of Anderson just looking off. And then with AC, I don't really know what to expect from him anymore, but not like both those guys weren't up there like they, I think they can be for sure. So I don't know, hopefully Anderson's up there. I think he'll be battling up there with Webb. And I also I feel like going into this season that the older guys need to show Jet, like, they're just not going to let him buy or whatever. And then Webb just goes up there and gets that pass back on Jet early on in the heat race. I thought it was really cool because, just all the attention around Jet and everything. And I think the way he rides, it's so boring, I swear, watching him race, because he just goes up and passes everyone. And like I said earlier, he just manages that second or 2 second lead or whatever. But for Webb to get that pass back, and at least in the heat he looked human. Looked human in the heat before going on in the main and just making it look easy walking away with it. But yes, I don't know, after A1 though, going back to Anderson, I definitely feel a lot better about him after watching him last year. Going into this year, he looks a lot more comfortable, so it was really cool to see. But I guess that's a wrap here. We got one round down and many more to go, 16 more rounds to go. So hopefully we'll get some good racing here and see how the whole fantasy thing plays out too. So hopefully I'm better than I guess last year. Weren't you up there in our group last year? Like, did you win it, or I don't even know who won last year?
I was I had like a really good lead for a while, and then I just kind of did bad for the last couple of rounds, and I was like trying to like just milk it out, and then the last round I ended up like doing poorly, and I fell back to like third or fourth. Like I got passed by a couple people. Like coming into the last round, I was in the lead, and then I just like threw it away, like just messed up and lost our win in our fantasy group, and Joey ended up winning.
Oh, Joey won. Yeah, this year, last year, like at least the last few years, like I swear, like I always forget my picks. Before, I would always be on top of it, like really on top of it, making picks and adjusting like during the race day. But I was so bad, I missed so many rounds, so I just kind of quit on it a while or a little bit in, and it was just, you know, I was out of it, so it wasn't really. There's no way I was catching up, and when it, and I was overthinking everything, like going back, and you can probably listen to the, you know, episodes from last year or whatever. It's like I'd always pick one guy, like let's say if it was Chase or whatever, and then Tomac would win, then I'd pick Tomac, then Chase would win, and I was losing my mind over that. But at least now I know I'm going with Jet for a while, but I guess we'll see how it is. Joey did say, because I mentioned I have two accounts on there, and he's like, well, it's technically not cheating. He's like, there's no way you can cheat unless you hack in. I'm like, well, I think if I got, I don't know, two accounts and just made different picks with it, I don't know, at least you know, have one account, maybe one account doing good. So, but no, I'll have to go in there probably tonight and delete that one. But I guess we'll see how that is. But anyways, I think that's a wrap here. Covered pretty much everything I wanted to get into for this round. But well, see you guys later, and peace out.